And now if you would turn to please turn to the same three forms of unity to page 24 to Lord's Day 9, and we'll let us read together question and answer 26. As is our custom, I'll ask the question. If you guys could respond to that, I'd be grateful. Okay, question 26 asks, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, mighty maker of heaven and earth? The eternal Father, or Lord, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust, as to have no doubt that he will provide me all things necessary for body and soul. And further, that whatever evil he sends upon me in this veil of tears, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. And yeah, I'm sorry, you guys, that I'm reciting along with you, but we haven't figured out how to make the sound go to the congregation, so if there's nothing coming from here, you don't hear nothing on the internet. So I'm just trying to stay so I keep others involved too. So bear with me. My wonderful singing, I might add. Okay. So thank you. Okay, you know, and okay, as I thought about this, a good thing came to my thought is I've been in the construction field for quite a while now. And one thing that I've grown to get more and more to learn as I got more qualified in particular fields is that a good starting point is essential, even necessary, to build out from in order to complete something that is both acceptable and that can last. Whether it's a straight line in building a fence, to a practical understanding of how water flows when putting roofing paper, or even when you're laying drain pipes. And even as I hear, you know, with Anthony Rainey all the time when he starts tightening a wrench, because he works with me, he'll say, lefty loosey, righty tighty. And that's a good starting point. That's a point of reference you need to build out from, because you don't want to turn it the wrong way. But anyway, I thought about that this morning. I forgot to throw it in there. And as I was mulling over this Lord's Day question, there's one trade or one aspect in that trade that I think relates well to this opening statement in the first article, and that is tile laying. You see, in tile laying, there is necessary factors that have to be considered before you can actually start laying the tile. Okay, of course, it's a smooth surface, a clean surface, no cracks in the slab, etc. But along with these things, there's one factor that has to be considered in order to achieve the preferable outcome, and that is where to lay the first tile. What I mean by that is, in order to set that first row of tiles, you got to not only know the overall dimensions of the room, but you got to know where each one of those tiles are going to, when they get over to that wall, what's that tile going to look like? Going to be a little piece? Going to be a big piece? Well, how's that tile going to look in relation to that on that wall? Is it going to be a big piece, little piece? All these things have to be considered in before you lay that first tile. Because if you don't, then you have nothing that's going to last. Well, as I thought about this question, I see that this very beginning statement, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, have all those necessary points, all those necessary elements to start building out into a life-lasting confession, right, that we believe. And so we're going to go, last week went through Reverend Jones, basically, and, you know, addressing how the catechism flows. This week we're going to go through Eusinus' commentary. He really says some good things, right? And like him, it begins like him and Reverend Jones, and I always love Reverend Jones' study help. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's a wonderful tool of reference throughout your whole life to actually go back and understand the catechism that's been given to us. Okay, and anyway, Eusinus, or I'm sure Reverend Jones copied out of Eusinus's, and they both say the same thing in one area, and that is the three necessary things. You know, how is God our Father? All right. First is in respect to Christ as being his only begotten Son. Let me start that out. Let me start it again. Reverend Jones and Eusinus state three reasons the first person of the Godhead is called the Father. And the first reason is in respect to Christ, his only begotten Son. Second is in respect to all creatures. He is the Creator and the preserver of them all. And third, and lastly, in respect to the elect, whom he has adopted as his children, and whom he has made acceptable in His beloved. Those are the three basic ideas when we say, I believe in God the Father. But in Eusinius' commentary, he goes a lot further and breaks down really how that means more in depth of what that means, those three, okay? So we're going to start off, we're going to use his commentary today, like I said, but he starts off saying this, to believe in God and to believe God and to believe in God are two different things. The first, I believe in God, expresses historical faith. The latter, I believe in God, expresses true faith or confidence. For when I say I believe that God is, if I speak properly, I am saying I believe there is a God, and that He is such as one as He has revealed Himself in His world, in His Word, i.e., a spiritual essence, omnipotent, etc., the eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You guys nowadays got these computers you can work off on and stuff. Most old folks don't got it like that. But when I say I believe in God, I mean I believe that He is my God. That is, whatever He is and has is all for my salvation. Or, another way to say this, is to believe God, speaking properly, is to believe a certain person to be God according to all His attributes. Whereas to believe in God is to be persuaded that He will make all things attributed to Him subservient to my salvation for the sake of His Son. And we can just stop in right there and spend the rest of our life mulling over that. That He, for the sake of His Son, will make all things subservient toward my salvation. All that attributes Him, all of creation, is designed to bring about my salvation. Because He's so governed. Remember, there's no maverick molecules in this universe, but God controls them all. Or He's created them, He rules over them all. Okay. And then he goes on to say, and there's another point, and there's like 4 points here. I believe in God, particularly now the focus is on in God. The name of God here is taken essentially for the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when I say I believe in God, in that beginning of our creed, it's saying that I believe in God, and that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he points out at the very beginning of that. Okay? And then he says, and the way he qualifies that is the name of God is here taken essentially for the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because the phrase, I believe, where the particle in is referred to the same manner of all three persons of the Godhead. And if we think about the flow of the catechism we just mentioned, or the creed, I believe in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So you see how the catechism sets it up, that we're saying this is the one true God whom we believe in. Right? And then basically this is our confession as Christians. We do not think of anything any less of the Son nor the Holy Spirit do we think of the Father. But that we think they are one, equal in power and glory, but yet three distinct persons. That's our Christian confession. Amen? Okay, and now we move to, I believe in God the Father. When the name of the Father is opposed to the Son, it is taken personally and signifies the first person of the Godhead as here in the creed. So when it says, I believe in God the Father, now it's separating the difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, whereas if we look at the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, it's basically addressing the triune being, all three persons. And he pulls that distinction out where you see in Isaiah 9:6, it says, where Jesus is called the everlasting Father. So he just pulls those distinctions out. That's good for us as we go through it. When we say our Father in heaven, who are we praying to? We're praying to the Father in the mediation of the Son and the intercession of the Spirit. So we're praying to the triune God of Scripture, okay? So anyway, and lastly, we're going to come to this word Almighty. To believe in God Almighty is to believe in such a God, one who is able to accomplish whatever He wills, two, who can accomplish all things by His simple command and without any difficulty. And as I thought about this, I thought the question should never be, how did God create all things in 6 days? But rather, why did He take 6 days to create all things when He could have just said it in one word? Why did God give us a six-day pattern? Right? More than He could just spoken and I'll be here right now because He is Almighty. Okay? And third, who alone has the power to do all things and is the dispenser of that power which is in all His creatures. And lastly, who is Almighty for my benefit and can and will direct all and make all things subservient to my salvation for the sake of His Son. Beloved, let this be our confession, that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker in heaven and earth. Amen? Amen.